Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Let me read this for us. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I have announced them to you. That's the passage we're in this evening, Isaiah chapter 42. Now, my family has an obsession, it seems, an obsession with home improvement programs. It might stem from a garden project that my parents have coming up, but they enjoy watching Garden Rescue or Escape to the Chateau, and my wife seems to be endorsing that with them. But you know what these shows are like. They get their appeal, don't they, by showing the equivalent of a tip, and then they promise to change it into something spectacular by the end. You're meant to be thinking to yourself, how is that going to happen? And then voila, about an hour later, it has. What seemed impossible can now be looked back on as amazing. Well, we've been hearing about God's great comforting message to his people. Isaiah has been writing, he's been looking to the future and telling Israel they're going to go into exile, but they're going to come out again. And we saw last week that God was going to do that to demonstrate that he, and he alone, is where strength can be found. By announcing this in advance, God is saying, God is demonstrating that he is the only true God. But how is this rescue going to come? That's the question that Isaiah is turning to this evening. How will God bring about this rescue? Like those home improvement shows, the final designs have been submitted, but now the logistics need working out. How will God bring about this rescue? Well, in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9, we're going to see that God will bring it about through his servant. Have a look at verse 1 of chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. You see, God's plan to bring comfort to his people is through his servant. But the question is, who is this servant? And as we work our way through Isaiah, we're going to see more and more of who this servant is. But in order to stay faithful to what Isaiah is intending, we're going to uncover it as he reveals it. It's really easy to jump forwards, and we end up missing the nuance and the amazement of what he's saying here. And we're still carrying on from where we were last week. You see, God is still proving that he is the true God by saying something in the future that he's going to do. You can see that at the end of this. Look at the end of verse 9. God says this, "See, The former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So as we read this, we're being called to listen so that we can trust God, so that we can have comfort knowing that God is the one who's in complete control, so that we can know that we can find our strength in him. See, that's the aim here. That's the intention. So in order to do that, we need to ask a question. What does this passage tell us about the servant? Or you could say, who and what are we to look for? Well, the first thing about this servant we need to see is that this servant is like Israel. See, as you read through this description of the servant, he sounds like an ideal version of Israel. Now, the last time we saw this servant language was last Sunday. I don't know if you remember, in Isaiah chapter 41. There, God referred to Israel twice as his servant. If you look up Isaiah 41, verses 8 and 9, there they are on the screen. He said this, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you." See, Isaiah means for us to connect those two dots together. This servant he's talking about here is an ideal Israel. You get that from verse 6 as well. Have a look at Isaiah 42, verse 6. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles." You see, the servant is to be a light to the Gentiles. When the Bible says Gentiles, you can normally swap that out for the word nations. A Gentile is someone who's not Jewish, so it's someone from the nations. Now, back in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham that he was going to take him and make him into a great nation, and he was going to bless him, and he was going to make his name great, and he was going to be a blessing to the world. See, the nation of Israel is meant to be a blessing to the world around them, to the nations. But by Isaiah's day, that hadn't happened. There were moments when it looked like it might have, but really, their history was pretty much a letdown. That's why I'm saying this servant sounds like an ideal version of Israel. But that's the big thing here. The servant sounds like an ideal Israel. But you know what? We can go a bit further than that. Not only does this sound like an ideal Israel, this servant also sounds like an ideal Israelite king. In fact, this servant sounds like King David. See, earlier in Isaiah, God promised that a king was going to come, and he had a very specific description. This is Isaiah chapter 11, if you want to look it up. Just so you know, Jesse here is David's father, so someone from his stump is going to be someone from Jesse's line, from David's line. Let me read Isaiah 11, see what sounds familiar. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked." We might know that passage from Christmas, but do you see how it connects to Isaiah chapter 42? Just have a look at verse 1 of Isaiah 42 again. This servant has the spirit of the Lord on him. This same figure is going to bring forth justice. You see, in Isaiah's day, there were many, many kings around. There were many kings who would go around declaring just how great they were. They'd do it in the streets. Many kings who would crush the weak beneath them in order to show how powerful they were. But this king in Isaiah 42 is going to be different. Have a look at verse 2 to 4. See, this king, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets like those other kings would. A bruised reed he will not break, or a smouldering wick he will not snuff out like another king would. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. You see, this servant sounds like the promised king. This servant sounds like David. It's a royal servant, a king who's going to bring forth justice. See, the whole Bible, it's been looking forward to a new David since the old one died. And here in Isaiah, here is the hint that one is still on his way. And the king of Israel, they'd be one who would represent the people. So in many ways, an ideal Israel would look like an ideal king. And that's what we have here. A servant who is like Israel and is like David. But one more thing we can say. This servant is also like Moses. Now, if you were to pick the story for which you think Moses is famous for, I think you're going to pick the Exodus, right? Good. We're going to see more of that next week, so hold on to that. But this description in verse 7 is reminiscent of him. In fact, whenever you see the word servant in the Bible, you're meant to think Moses. He is the servant of the Lord. In fact, if you look through the Old Testament, it's amazing how many times he is called that. I've only just been pointed that myself, and it's really amazing to see when you look. But verse 7 here in Isaiah 42 is meant to remind us of Moses. Let me read it. This servant is to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. See, if you remember Exodus, the Israelites, they were captives of Egypt. They were right in the center of this world superpower, looking as if they had been stuck there, chained there for life. But then God, through Moses, came and he freed them. Let my people go. Throughout Exodus to Deuteronomy, Moses is remembered as God's servant who brought Israel out of the house of slavery. And at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses says to look forward to another one like him. So at this point in history, similar to David, we still haven't found what we're looking for, to quote you too. But this servant, it sounds like he's going to fit that bill. See, this servant is like Moses. So what have we got? Well, we have a servant, God's servant, who is going to do what Israel was meant to do, who's going to be a king like David, who's going to be a leader like Moses. And this is certainly going to happen. It's as certain as God, the creator of the world, verse 5. See, God gave breath to his people. Therefore, he's able to do this. But what's the point of telling us this? How's this going to affect us tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off? Well, the point is there in verses 8 and 9, right at the end. Says this, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. See, by declaring this in advance, God is demonstrating that he is the one true God. He is better than those idols we saw last week. When we see that figure, when we see that servant turn up in history, we can look, we can say, yes, God did tell us he was going to do this. And because he did, we can praise him and we can trust him. We can find our comfort. We can find our strength in him. And I said we weren't going to jump forwards, but I think at the end we can, just to prove this point. I'm going to draw a line for you. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read this as I finish. If you want to look it up, it's Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. We're not sure who this servant is here. Well, this will give us the answer. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15 to 21. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not call or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. See, God made this promise in the day of Isaiah, and God did do it. And so we can find our comfort. We can find our strength in him.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.